Welcome into a special edition of Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Munster Tiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com, joined by Forever Buff, Philip Lindsay. Phil, you don't need a whole lot of an introduction here for anybody that's been paying attention to Colorado football recently, or and even the new media scene here in Denver. So I'm anxious to catch up with you.
Oh man, I appreciate you having me on, man. And it's an honor. It's an honor to be able to talk with you. And man, I remember when we first talked on the phone when I first got recruited by Colorado with, and that was with John Embry and Eric Bieniemy. I committed verbally, and then I was talking to you. So it's a small world, man. But it's a man. Time flies, doesn't it?
I'll never forget going down to Denver South and watching you in those Oklahoma drills where the running back's supposed to avoid contact and you're just piling into those guys. And
Yeah.
then you'd come over and just be like the nicest guy ever. I was a big Philip Lindsay fan from day one. And when I heard that you played most of a football game with the torn ACL, I was blown away.
Yeah,
That's a true story, right?
that's very much so. That is a true story. So I blew my knee out the first game of the year, right after I broke my father's record. Like literally, the next play, I blew my knee out, but I really didn't know. Like, that was my first time ever being hurt like that. And so I got it checked out, but we didn't get an MRI at the beginning of all that. And I kind of checked out. I missed a game. I came back for another one against our rivals, East High School, East Angels. And yeah, I played that game, and I think I went for almost 100 yards, if not 100 yards. And the same cut. I did the same cut, exact cut I did that the time I blew my knee out. Is the same thing that happened to me against East, and I did the same cut, and it gave out on me. And yeah, it sucked, and I found out that I tore my knee, and that was the first time I ever had to go through an obstacle like that when it came to injury. That just kind of molded me and changed the way I thought about things.
And so you get up to CU, and if memory serves, you're having a hard time like bending that knee, right?
Yeah, I
You
think.
you've got so much scar tissue kind of built up in there.
Yeah, and and time has gone by, and things have gotten better when it comes to surgeries and doing stuff right away. But I didn't get the proper treatment that I needed. I didn't have the money at the time to do that consistently. So when I got up to Colorado, it was right before everybody got up there, and they were thinking about gray shirting me. But I was allowed to go up there. And I got with a guy named Ted Lane. I'll never forget his name. Ted Lane, still to this day. And he worked with me throughout the whole offseason, the offseason of moving up into camp. And he was able to get my knee straight and bending the right way, literally a couple days before camp started. So I didn't think I was going to be able to play that year or even practice. And honestly, I don't think that the medical staff up there thought I was going to be able to play at all ever, just because of how bad my knee was and the proper treatment that was not given to me. It was just a long journey, man.
And so you get over that and you become a two-time 1,000-yard rusher for the Buffaloes. Trayvon McMillan and you are the only two 1,000 backs in recent Colorado football history. What was kind of the breaking point or the turning curve for you in terms of getting through that injury and then really starting to thrive with the Buffs?
Yeah, I think it started with just getting my knee back, and honestly, just physically getting back in action with being on the scout team and redshirting. Although I didn't like it, and I don't think any kid wants to hear that you're going to be redshirted. Man, that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it was the best thing for multiple reasons. One, I got to just focus on school. Right at that time, school, you didn't have the NIL money where you could just transfer out and get money. Like, the school was what I was going to the university to do anyways, to get my education, get my degree. So I was able to focus on that. Two, I was able to be a college kid. I got to have 1 year of just experiencing the college life without having to like balance truly like going on the road, playing in these games and doing all that. I got to just focus on, all right, I just have to practice, and then I could go and do my work, and then I could be a college kid for a year. And then also, it just helped me get stronger, bigger, faster, mentally mature. I got to know the system. for a full year. And so that next year, I was ready to go. There was no regrets. Like, I got to be a college kid. I got to work on my schooling. So I was ahead of the game with that. I was bigger, faster, stronger, and mentally, I was ready to compete for a starting spot or just playing time in general. And so it all started with the practice squad. And I took the scout team very serious. And I remember getting into fights and trying to make the defense look stupid. And it was my way of just like one getting back and like saying like I shouldn't be on scout team, but also it was a way for me to like this was my game every single day to show the coaching staff that like I'm worthy enough to be able to play out there on Saturdays and Fridays. And that's where it all started, man. The best award that I still have till this day, all the accolades that I have in the NFL, the Pro Bowls, some of the accolades in college. The best one I still have is the Scout Team Player of the Year, because it reminds me of like how things started. And everybody has a journey, everybody has a starting point. But if I didn't have to have that Scout Team experience, I don't know where I'd be today. If I didn't have that knee injury, I don't know where I'd be today, because I feel like the knee injury knocked me down to reality of like, hey, God gives you this ability, but he could take it away too as fast as he gives it to you. So like my whole mind shift shifted into being more appreciative of like what is in front of me, from the university and being able to go to college, to making my lifetime friends, to be able to play a sport I love at a high level. In college is a high level. A lot of people are not going to the NFL. And so after that, I just think that just the confidence and the ability that I already had, I knew that I could do something special. But I think who put me over the top in college was Coach Hagan, Darian Hagan. Once he became my running backs coach, I felt like, the sky was the limit. I mean, he opened up so many different doors for me and unlocked so many different things for me mentally, physically. And I could just be myself. And I started to feel like myself. I started to feel like the guy that I was in high school. And so Coach Hagan got that out of me. And he let me just play. He let me play. He let me get into a rhythm. And he let me be myself. And so with that being said, I mean, I was able to go out there and just play free. Play with the mindset that, hey, I'm the best person out there and nobody can stop me. And if you don't have that mindset, then why are you out there? And yeah, I was able to have success and I was able to stay healthy. And thanks to like Coach Hagan, thanks to the scout team and everything, and just the journey, man. The journey, everything. Everybody has a story. And my story started as a scout team player, and then Coach Hagan helping me develop as a running back and just as a person.
I think why people love your story so much, Philip, is that every time you face adversity, you stood up to it and you overcame it. I'm glad you mentioned Coach Hagan there. It's weird to being around CU and not having him around there. He just was kind of this legacy up there and such a unique individual, somebody that you develop a lot of admiration for when you get to know the man.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a great man. Great man. He's funny, like I say, he's gonna let you be yourself. He's not gonna judge you. He was a father figure to me. He understood me in his background. I mean, it's not just who he was as an athlete and what he did for the University of Colorado, because he's done so much for that university. Brought him a national championship. I mean, you tell the next person has done that. Nobody but him. So, but it's just like, man, with me and Coach Hagan, until this day, I can call him, I can text him, and we can have a good conversation. We can have a serious conversation. We can have a funny conversation. I mean, he just was that type of guy that gets the best out of his players, and you felt like he was your father more than a coach. And so going into work, it was fun going into work. It was fun going into the meetings after the games. Like, he would break down stuff. He's gonna critique you and be hard on you, but also he's gonna love you up. And there's not a lot of people out there like Coach Hagan, man. So I'm happy that I got the opportunity to be coached by him. It was an honor to be coached by Coach Hagan, because one, he's a legend. He's a legend, and yeah, he was a quarterback, but also he's a running quarterback, and so he knows what he's talking about. And then just to be able to build that relationship over years with Coach Hagan, it's special.
And you go into Pro Timing Day, run a time faster than anybody anticipated. Was it a 4.38, if memory serves?
3.84, like some people had it at 4.38, some people had it at 4.35. Everybody's,
Okay.
but even in the combine, right? Like you see these numbers on the TV screen, but a lot of the scouts go off of what their hand time is. They don't trust the time that the TV's putting out there. Everybody feels like they got their formula. So like everybody has a different time. So like that's why pro days and combines at the end of the day, it's the same. Because you got the scouts with the same stopwatch on that's gonna click in it, and they feel like their time is the right one, correct one. So 4.38, 4.35, it's around the 4.3.
So you go to the Broncos undrafted, and we talked about this on the last interview we did on Buff Stampede Radio. Just yeah, you turn into a Pro Bowler, surprise everybody. Was it kind of a full circle moment this past year, being able to go back pregame and kind of represent the Broncos and plant that flag in the ground?
Yeah, it's a full circle moment because a lot of it has to do with my kids. You know, like when I was first playing, I didn't have kids. And when I was done playing, Phil, my oldest, he was too young to understand what his dad was doing. Like he's just now understanding who his dad was, and also like just understanding like what sports are. And so, like, I think that moment right there for my wife and my kids, it was just like one, it was a cool experience for them. They get to go to a football game, they see thousands of fans, they get to see the horse and the football players, and it's just like wow. And then I think for myself, just like being on that football field and hearing people cheer my name and scream me on, it's just like, you know, to him, it's like that's no better feeling than to be a father. And see your son smiling and thinking they're talking about him because he thinks that they're talking about him, right? Because his name's Philip. So it's like those are the moments that I cherish. And then of course going back there and being like, wow, because you have to, you know this, but for people out there that don't know, I mean, I'm born and raised here, right? I played my ball down the street with Denver South, but also I went to the state championship. I wasn't able to play in the state championship because I blew my knee out, but the state championship was on Empower Field. So like, you know, and then all the when I was at college, the CUCSU games were at Empower Field. So it's like I got to do so much on that football field, which by the way, at some point it's no longer gonna be there. They're gonna move and go to a different stadium. So it's like a full circle moment, not just for the NFL, but just for everything that has gone on in my life, all the times and experiences I've had on that football field that the Denver Broncos play on. It's just a surreal moment, and it's like not a lot of people get to do it. So I understand that, and that's why I appreciate it to the fullest. And I understand that like so many people could have been in the same spot I was in. There's a lot of people better than me. I was just the one that was able to rip the rewards of what went down, and I understand that, and I appreciate it.
Chicken bacon ranch street chalupas and a chicken bacon ranch nacho fry option at Taco Bell. This is Taco Bell at it again with the best innovation in the industry. And now they are combining their savory slow roasted chicken inside a cult classic format with their new limited time only chicken bacon ranch street chalupas. Get your set of two street-sized chalupa shells filled with slow roasted chicken, flavorful bacon, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded cheese, and avocado ranch sauce. And this is a chalupa shell that is coated with cheddar. So you can't go wrong here. Taco Bell isn't just limiting this Americana flavor combination to its street chalupa format. But why not get this pairing on Taco Bell's iconic nacho fries? These loaded fries deliver everything you love about nacho fries, but also leveled up with slow roasted chicken, bacon, nacho cheese, pico de gallo, and avocado ranch sauce. And don't forget to add one of the new items from the Taco Bell Lux Value Menu with 10 items. For $3 or under, the Lux Value Menu at Taco Bell delivers bold, irresistible flavor, and crave-worthy items at unbelievable prices. Nobody delivers everyday value and supports your hometown teams like Taco Bell. Live Moss at Taco Bell. The last time we did an interview, you were still training at that point. How did you transition from professional athlete to local media member?
Yeah, so it was different. It was definitely different because I was kind of on the edge and on the fence of, okay, do I keep playing or do I try to transition out to doing something else? Because no matter how long you play in the league, you could be Tom Brady, you could be Philip Lindsay, you can be just a practice squad player. Your whole life has revolved around football, some type of football structure and doing that. And then all of a sudden, no matter if you play 15 years or 5 years or 2 years, once it's done, it's done. Right? It's you go cold turkey, and then you're just sitting there saying, now what? Well, for a lot of people, they don't have a plan B. They don't know what to do next, which I understand. Like, you're all in, right? If you're doing something, you should be doing it at the best of your ability, and it's going to take up most of your time. That's how you become great at something, right? You have to sacrifice certain things to become great. But once it's over, it's like, okay, what's next for you? And I think for me, like, as you get older and you know that football's almost done, and it's like, not because you want it to be done, but because that's just how they look at it as. It's like, they don't view you as a starter anymore. They don't view you as a guy that can be a centerpiece, and then they push you out. And when that happens, it's a cold world. And this is where you have to have a good foundation built. And I remember talking to my agent, talking to my wife, and I wasn't getting the calls that I wanted. And I was like, do I really want to wait until half the season's done to get on a team? It's hard to do that, you know? And so I went on a walk, because I usually go on a long walk, and I usually like talk to myself, talk to God. And I pretty much told God, like, hey, like, explain, like, this is how I'm feeling. And then I pretty much gave myself a time. And I said, like, you know, by this certain date, if I don't hear from somebody, then it's a sign from you that it's time for me to move on and try to figure out what else is out there for me. And sure enough, 3 days later, I get a call from the radio station, 104.3 The Fan. And I didn't think nothing of it, truly. They called and said, hey, we know that you're still playing football, but how would you like to come in here and just, like, see how things are done here, test out trying to do radio? And I'm like, well, I never thought about it, but you know what? Like, it's something that in the back of my head, it's like, I could be good at. I get to talk about sports. I get to talk about, at the time, I'm thinking about just football. And so I said, yeah, why not? So I meet with them a couple times, and then they end up offering me the job. And I'm like, well, wow, like, I'm in a bind here, because I don't even know if I'm done playing football. They're offering me a job, but the job, see, as you get into this job, you start to realize, like, it's not just getting on radio for 2 hours or an hour and talking sports. Like, you're talking for 4 hours straight about Broncos, Nuggets, and Avs, right? Like, and being very detailed and learning about that side of the business. And so I remember my wife coming up to me and saying, well, Phil, like, you asked for a sign. And this seems to be the sign that you've been looking for. Now, you can ignore it, and, you know, we're gonna be by your side no matter what. And you could try for another year, or you can take the sign, and then we can start something new in this new journey. And so I decided to take a leap of faith, and I said, you know what, football has been great for me, but I'm not willing to wait around for somebody to want my service. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting on somebody to want me, when it's like, at this time, somebody else right here wants me. So why am I going to ignore that? So I decided to transition out. And it was hard, but it was a lot easier than a lot of other players, because for a lot of other players, the NFL stops knocking at their door and they're just sitting there. And then that's when the dark things come into your mind, and then you have so much time on your hands. And yeah, you have some of these players have a bunch of money, but you start to realize it's not always about money. It's also about, like, what you love to do that's not football anymore. And a lot of players don't understand that or don't know that about themselves yet. They don't know who they are outside of football. And so I got into the radio world, and I think that it was the greatest thing that has happened to me, because it helped me transition out, but also it helped me cope with not playing football anymore. Because I got to talk about it. I got to talk about my stories. I got to get things off my chest. And I think that helped me heal, because no matter what, you're going to be bitter, a little bit bitter when football is done and football says it doesn't love you anymore. Right? Football's never loyal to you. And as much as you love it, it's never going to love you as much as you love it. And so I think that it was a perfect time that I needed. And everything in life is about timing. Contracts to things happening for you, to transitioning out. Everything's about timing. And it was perfect timing for me to move on to the next chapter of my life and see what I could do with the radio.
Awesome, great stuff there. And your co-host Zach Bai, did you know him before you guys started working together?
So I knew him a little bit because he's been in the business, and Zach Bai is a great radio host, a great radio host. And he actually started his career, and he got it, like they call it getting it out the mud, right? The hard way. Albany, New York is where he's from. And he found his way to Colorado, and he started his journey at 30 years old with Denver Sports as well. And that's kind of when I started. I think you're like 29, 28, 29, I want to say, is when I started. But yeah, he so I did some test runs with him, and I remember us after we were done, he said, "Hey, look, we had dinner," and he said, "I think we can build something special here, you know." And being in radio, I think at the time for him it was like 7, 8 years with the Denver Sports, and he was like, "I think that we can make something special." Now, you're wrong. You have to work on things. We're not going to be good at the beginning. People are not going to like it because people do not like change. As you know, right? As you know, Big Al was there at the time, and then Big Al left and went to another station, and so they were like, people are gonna leave at the beginning, but we have to just keep going and keep going, and at some point they'll give us a chance. And when we get that chance, we have to knock it out of the ballpark, because you may only get that one chance, right? You never know who's listening. People are listening. They're coming and going all the time. It might be their first time listening in a long time, and they're like, well, like it sounds different than it did day one to 3 years later. Let me stick around, right? So like that's the thought process of things. And yeah, man, we just stuck at it. And truly, I went at it like I was playing football, because it's hard. Radio is hard. Talking is hard. And although I was a communications major, my biggest strength isn't talking and articulating words. So I had to learn how to do that. I had to get with a mentor named Jerry Madelon, who's been in the game for a very long time. Works with NFL Network, has worked with ESPN. He works with guys. He works with coaches, players, when it comes to how to talk, how to speak to people, speeches. And so I work with him all the time. And over the years, I have gotten better. Over the years, I have been able to go into great detail. Over the years, I've been able to slow down and articulate my words and get words out. And so it's a process, man. And then you have to do this 4-hour radio show. So you're talking for 4 hours about Broncos, Nuggets, Avs. And that was the thing for me. It's a learning curve, right? I knew about the Broncos and the Nuggets, but Avalanche, that was something that was new to me. I knew about the Avs and I followed it, but I didn't know about them like I did the Broncos and the Denver Nuggets. So then I had to dive deep head first into Colorado Avalanche. I had to start watching more Avs than I did football games, so that you can start to understand that side of the world when it comes to hockey. So it's been a journey, man, and it's been a fun one. And then you start to see the results and having good shows, and you can feel it, and you're having fun now because you're not thinking as much. I mean, you know how it is to do this. You've been doing this your whole life, man, with reporting and talking on these podcasts. It's different.
Yeah, no, and I've definitely seen you grow a ton, and every time I can tune in, I appreciate that. At least you guys don't have to talk a lot about the Rockies, right? That's not really on the agenda too much these days.
Yeah, I mean, like, hopefully this that's the
Hopefully, yeah, there's always hope in the
Yeah,
spring.
exactly. Some of the young guys, hopefully Ezekiel Tovar can turn things around. He didn't have
Yeah.
a last year, so I hope we can start talking about him. I mean, this is a baseball state, and if the
Yeah.
Rockies are good, then it's just going to make everything around the state of Colorado better. So if you're going to have Nuggets, Avs, Broncos, and Rockies doing some good stuff, I mean, dang, Like you're spoiled. We're already spoiled. But add the Rockies to it, and there you go.
And a couple of years ago, we had the Buffs that were, part of national headlines. I'll get you out on this one, Philip. What are you hoping to see from CU going forward?
Yeah. So obviously for Colorado, it's about wins, right? I want to see this team go to a bowl game, but not just any bowl game. I want them to compete for the Big 12 championship, like they had an opportunity to a couple years ago. I want them to get back to just being consistently fun to watch. And fun to watch means making plays and winning games, right? This is a performance-based business, and we all know that. When I was there, Adam, you know that we weren't very good at the beginning, and we took our butt whoopings, and it was not fun. Losing is not fun. All right, for fans, it's not fun. And so that 2016 year was special because everybody stuck together. There wasn't the NIL money and people can just transfer out. Everybody had to stick through it and weather the storm. And we grew because of that. And we loved each other. And it was a fun year, not because we won a bunch of games, yes, but it was the way we did it. It was just like my journey. But like for all of us, it was the journey of getting our butts whooped, being babies, sticking together. All right, and then having the opportunity to get our get back and say, okay, like we're the older guys now, and we're polished, and we're mentally ready, and we're ready to finish these games. And then to see a lot of us go on and have an opportunity to go to the NFL, like that was the ultimate dream. But all of us knew that, and we knew about each other, and we knew the guy to the left and right. We knew the guys' mother's names, father's names, brothers, sisters. And so you played harder for that guy because you knew about him. And you knew he was going through troubles. Like everybody had their demons that they were fighting, but you knew that about him. You're like, hey, I'm going to help you out. That's a brotherhood. And I just want to see Colorado get back to that. I want to see him get back to having fun. I want to see him get back to whooping some butt, and I want to see him get back to loving each other. And if they can do that, then they'll have a successful year this year.
That 16 team was very special. You were a big part of that, Philip. Appreciate you as always for joining the podcast. How can folks support you and your show going forward?
Yeah. So, man, honestly, it's just tuning in from 2 to 6 p.m. every single day, except for Sundays and Saturdays and Sundays. Zach Bye and I are on 104.3 The Fan, The Drive. Give us a chance. Give us a shot. See if you like it. We're talking Nuggets, Avs, and of course the Denver Broncos. We bring some fun to it. We're gonna have some heated debates. And man, at the end of the day, I think of it like this, and I had to think of it like this. It's like I want people to be driving down the street feeling like they know me and Zach Bye, feeling like they're at home talking on the couch to their buddies or at a bar, with a beer in their hand, discussing what's going on with the Denver Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Avalanche, having good conversation back and forth, having some fun moments, having some arguments. Like that's what we're trying to create here. We're trying to create a fun environment that everybody can be a part of, but you're also going to get some great information. Because Zach Bye loves to put his stats and facts out there, but it's great stuff that you learn. We're learning every day. Okay, and the minute that we stop learning, I don't know why continue to live? You're learning every day, and so when you tune into the show, you're gonna have fun, you're gonna laugh, you might get mad at us, but you're gonna learn something every day.
Awesome. Great stuff, Philip. Appreciate you and look forward to bumping into you at Folsom Field sometime soon.
Yes, sir, Adam, man. Thanks for everything that you have done for me from the start to even right now, man. You've been by my side. I appreciate everything, bro.
Always, Philip, you're one of my favorites. Appreciate you, and I appreciate everybody out there for tuning in.